Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Mr. Money TV live on Thursday night. Happy Chinese New Year!
Hey, 恭喜发财, Frankie here. Nice to see you guys again.
Mr. Money here. Yeah. Hey. So, Chinese New Year, Frankie. Mm. Let's start by asking this simple question, right?
Do
you make money during Chinese New Year for gambling or not?
Sorry,
we make Chinese sound like we're all gambling like crazy, right?
Have you gambled? Cannot gamble.
I don't gamble anyway. Yeah, yeah. So I've not touched any cards or any mahjong.
Mm.
Generally, I just don't like gambling lah. You know me, I don't gamble.
Correct.
But I think despite the fact that we have not been making money from gambling, but I think we are pretty happy when we looked at
our investments,
right, Lily?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so we have this private Telegram group where, if you can recall, last year we did a small group, right? So
Yes. Until
today, we still keep in touch. So that group, we were on and off, we will exchange idea of what you have been investing and stuff like that.
Mm.
So we have a virtual portfolio one.
Ooh.
And the virtual portfolio, it's all making money this year, man.
Oh, fantastic, bro. Fantastic. What's the return so far?
Well, it's about 50%
over percent
in the span of 6 months.
Mm, fantastic. Mm. Yeah.
Got all the stocks that we usually talk about, Meta, that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Correct.
So all the students, I suppose they made money also, if they follow.
I'm not sure whether they followed or not, but yeah.
You see, the ones that don't talk usually means that
they don't follow. Yeah, those that make a lot of noise one, they'll say, oh, yeah, see, I bought this one, I bought that one.
Usually, somehow, I think along the ways, I came to learn that people may not follow, not to say that you give investment advice, right?
Yep,
but I think ultimately it lies down in the action of whether you got buy or never buy.
Like
right?
We always mention, if you don't dare to click the first 100 ringgit buy, right? You will never click the 100,000.
And I realize that's usually the case.
Mm.
Right? They're so afraid to lose even that $5, right?
Mm.
They don't dare do anything with it.
True.
Yeah. So So by the time they decide, the market cycle already ended.
Correct. So the first part is you need to gain a lot of knowledge about the market. The second part is you need to train yourself to be confident to click buy and sell.
So now, on the other hand, I think just as the title is, right?
Mm.
We're talking about Bitcoin. We are talking about Bitcoin price, right? Can we buy Bitcoin or not? Because over the past few weeks, have you realized that you're getting more and more DMs about people asking you about Bitcoin?
Mm, a little bit more.
A little bit more, right?
Yeah.
People are starting to ask, where do you buy your Bitcoin? Some are asking, still can buy, Some are asking what do you think like that?
Some people also say, "Ayo, went up so much already, I missed the boat, don't buy lah."
Start to have more comments like this, right? Mm. So my in-laws came back from the US over the holidays.
Mm.
So she was asking me where should she save her money. So this is where I tell her, where should I invest? So I told her this thing. I say, at this point, if you're asking me about something where my own skin is in the game, a large chunk of my portfolio is in Bitcoin.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But if you're asking me theoretically what I think will do well, I have a lot more answers for you. And I mean, just like stocks and everything. I'm not saying it's doing well, right?
Yeah,
it's just that crypto is definitely one of the asset to look at for the next few months at least.
Yep.
Right? And we have been talking about that. So how do you feel when you saw Bitcoin exceeded 50,000?
Kind of surprised, and at the same time it's like, already know it's coming. Right? Why is it a surprise? It's because when the Bitcoin spot ETF was launched, actually there were a lot of outflow, especially from Grayscale and then things like that. And then FTX also sold some of their assets to cover their losses and all that. So that part was surprising. Because I thought when the ETF was launched, a lot of people will plow into it and say, hey, last time buying Bitcoin is so tedious. Right now, I just buy the ETF. It's very easy. But subsequently, it settled down, I think around 40,000 or so.
Mm.
Then I thought, if I were to buy, right, that would be the last chance for me to put my money down already.
38 was one of the lowest.
Oh, 38 was one of the lowest.
Yeah.
So, but my cash flow position, right? So I only added 2,000 extra.
Oh.
2,000 extra around the 40,000 period. Then after that, I just, whatever happens, happens. Because over the long term, I know that, you know, with the halving, with the Ethereum ETF coming on board, and then with more and more adoption going forward, chances are it may go up, right? But yeah, that's a hopeful thought, but not thinking much. Until recently, especially the past 1 week, when I look at the inflow of funds going into Bitcoin spot ETF, oh, the number is just mind-boggling, man.
Every day,
it's not even every week. Every day, you are talking about more than $150 million new cash going into Bitcoin spot ETF.
Yep, that's right.
Why is this important? It's because when you buy ETF, right, the fund managers will need to buy the asset to back the fund that they are managing.
Mm.
So when 100 over million is plowed into the ETF, they got no choice. Even if Bitcoin is 100,000 today, they still have to buy because people are buying their product. Ma.
That's right.
Yeah. So that caused a new wave of demand. Yeah.
So later we're going to dissect on the question of what's the pros and cons or what are some of the risks if you're going to be taking a position in cryptocurrency right now.
Yeah.
Right? But nonetheless, for me, when I saw it hitting 50,000, actually what happened was that in the morning, I read my message, then a friend texted me, don't worry, whatever that's happening right now, at least Bitcoin is 50K. You know what am I talking about, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, at least, and when I looked at my my accounts, I'm happy, but sad at the same time.
Why sad?
Because when it was about 38-40,
yeah,
I wanted to add money, but I didn't have enough money.
That's everybody's problem.
I'm so sad. Like, remember I was telling you that I want to refinance my house and everything. Not for the sake of investing entirely.
Yeah.
remember, right? Yeah, there was this chapter, right? And so I was pretty sad about that. But nonetheless, I'm still glad because we still made money. And I'm going to be holding this throughout, which later we're going to talk a little bit about how to actually also grow your wealth further. Now, so let's answer the elephant in the room, which is the title.
Yeah.
Can you still buy Bitcoin today? And so, yes or no?
You just want one word answer,
Yeah, just
right?
one word answer.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah. For me also is yes. Yeah. So now, why?
Okay. Bitcoin or cryptocurrency as a whole, right, is a very interesting asset class. If you talk about the conventional kind of assets, right, like property, lah, bonds, lah, stocks, lah, this kind of assets, what happens is that you need to study about the business, you need to know a lot about the economy, you need to be very familiar about things that is happening around the world, and then take a guess of what human plans to do next.
Correct.
From there, then you try to price the asset. But for Bitcoin, it's too simplified to a certain extent. All you need is a very good technical analysis skill. That's number one. And number two is because everything is programmed, which means to say that whatever that is talked in the news already is there one. It will happen because it is programmed into the system. So you just need to play with the trend and see, come down already, it's oversold, then chances are people will come and buy back. So you just follow. When it's too high or it's in the overbought position, maybe it's time to take some profit. Then you just play along.
Okay,
You get my point, right? You just play along without need to worry too much about too many variables.
Yeah.
Perhaps the only variable here is what the Fed is going to do with the interest rate. That's about it.
Yeah. So in my opinion, it's a similar kind of thing. I think Bitcoin comes out... I'm specifically talking about Bitcoin, right? Yeah, not cryptocurrency as a whole, but Bitcoin in general. Yeah, why is it so? It's because every single different cryptocurrency has their own different kind of way of working.
Yep.
Yeah, for those of you who do not know, Ethereum is not limited supply. Ethereum is limitless. Solana is limitless. And it will depend on whether does developer build an infrastructure on top. Does developer build apps, stuff like that, okay? Bitcoin itself is a unique asset where it is more of a commodity to a certain extent, right? Yeah, it's kind of like the digital gold, right? That's how you want to put it. Now, I totally agree with Frankie when it comes to understanding Bitcoin versus any other asset. When you talk about, let's say, give you an idea about how complicated other asset versus Bitcoin is. Let's start by talking about Bitcoin. Bitcoin, you only need to know one thing, right? Is there a demand in the market for Bitcoin? Means does people believe that Bitcoin is
Valuable.
That's number one. Right? Whether you are the person or not, doesn't matter. It's got people or not. That's number one. And is it mainstream enough that most people are buying it? What do we mean by that? Is that, for example, let's talk about fine art.
Yeah, not many people.
Not many people will not appreciate it. Yeah. But if you talk about gold, generally, yeah, people know how to appreciate it, even if the person may not be too educated. So where is Bitcoin at this stage? I think generally, for most people, it's a well-known asset at this point. Yep. Most people. Okay? Now, number two, in terms of the fundamental of the product, means what is involved within the product. Everything is set in stone because it's a programmed thing. There's only going to be 21 million of Bitcoin. Even when halving is going to be also agak-agak, they can tell you, Di.
Yep.
How does it work? It's there, Di. How is it being transferred? What's the record? Everything all is there, Di. There's nothing hide. Literally, it's 100% transparent. There's no such thing as you need to guess whether...
Yeah, whether they will increase the supply or whether people suddenly run away, run or whatever.
No such thing.
Yeah, no such thing.
Everything is there. Okay, everything is there. Okay. Now, then the third thing that you need to understand is how the macroeconomics is reacting to or plays a role. For example, Fed rate. For example, is there a war? You know, and so on. That kind of stuff. Standard line. Every single investment, you need to know these three things. Now, let's talk about stocks now. First thing, is there a demand for stocks? Yeah, basically as good as, maybe even more common than Bitcoin. Bitcoin. Way more common. Okay, the macroeconomics stay the same. The second one is the internal fundamental. For an internal fundamental of the stock, you need to first look at the industry. Is the industry doing fine?
Yep.
Is there any government law in the local particular area that they are dealing with that affect them? What's the morale of the company like? What's the business strategy? Do they have a strong financial health? Does the CEO, is the CEO focused or crazy? Like,
got succession plan or not?
Got succession plan or not? And then what else? There's many more other things that you need to be aware of. Yeah. Then only you talk about the other two, you know. So, there's so many things you need to know, right? Before you make a good decision. But investing in Bitcoin is...
straightforward.
Straightforward. There's not too many moving parts, right? Yes, there's that two biggest one that we did talk about. Do people trust it? Is there a government law surrounding it? But I would say that's irrelevant because it started without any government law. So, I mean, how back behind it can be. It was already like that without any laws being approved. Yeah. So it started at ground zero. So like, okay, whatever, man. Yeah. If no legislation, it's still going to be whatever, man.
It still runs. Today, there are so much. Now, close to $3.8 billion just on the ETF alone only.
So that's the thing. So in my opinion, it makes it quite an easy asset to invest. But it also makes it a very lazy asset.
Yep.
Yeah. Why? Because there are a lot of people invested in Bitcoin, they made a lot of money, but they actually have not much of a investment literacy.
Correct. Yeah. They actually don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, correct. They just follow the right place, right time. Yeah. So, nonetheless, the point is that it's easy to invest. Now, then the next thing is this. I think a lot of people are asking this question, right? Bitcoin now at 50,000+. Well, isn't it already too high? Did I already miss the boat? I guess the first thing to actually look at is actually the historical chart, which, again, history may not repeat itself. It's just a past performance. The first thing I'll bring up that is that the price movement of Bitcoin before halving and post-halving that you have to see in every single cycle, what we have actually noticed or what we have already seen so far is that before halving, the price would have gone down to one of the lowest, and then when it goes to post-halving about 12 months, it will reach the next all-time high. And what I do realize is that every time when it drops back down, it will go back down to the range of the previous all-time high. So for example, in the last cycle, the highest all-time high was 69,000.
Mm.
Then the all-time high before that was about 20,000. From the 69,000 all-time high, it dropped down this round. It hit the lowest at about 15.
Yep.
But for a very brief moment, go up, then it hovered quite along at about 20.
Yep.
Right? So it was the previous all-time high.
Mm.
Remember?
Mm.
Yeah. So that's what you tend to see, even the previous one as well.
Mm.
Not too far off.
But
my suspicion is that if pattern were to repeat, you will likely see a all-time high again in 12 months down the road, and you will be seeing a low point, which will represent the last all-time high figure. Mm.
But don't you think that this pattern, right, is a manufactured pattern? Meaning to say, it's all these big whales with a lot of money, right? They have the gunpowder, they have the firepower to actually draw the chart this way, to actually influence the rest of the world to say, you see, where before halving, this is going to happen. After halving, this is going to happen. And every time it happens, it will drop, but whenever it drops, it will drop to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that to a certain extent, because there's not much variable to play with, it's easier to manipulate because there's not many levers for you to pull. So therefore, it's very easy for them to say, okay, I have the money to actually draw the chart like this for you to see. And therefore, one day, right, maybe it's Satoshi or whoever, right, who has the ultimate power to do all these things and say, okay, now I decided to change the graph pattern a bit. It's going to be 180 degrees total opposite. Everything come crashing down.
So definitely, I am not quite sure whether will that happen. But I think it happens in every single asset nonetheless. It's just like in the early days when stocks came up, it's only that few players.
Correct.
So they can draw the chart. And so during those days also, the return was very high and very low. Remember?
Yeah.
These days it's much more normalized.
Correct.
Do you realize that when there are more smaller players, it starts to normalize?
Correct.
The cycle also becomes shorter. Yeah, because now you need to react to the market rather than you charting it out. I think cryptocurrency or Bitcoin itself will not escape this fate.
Yep.
But we are still at the early stage.
Mm.
Therefore, I would say that I won't expect a 10 times of... I wouldn't expect a 500,000... What, for one Bitcoin in the next 1 year? I'll put it this way.
Because there are a lot more players today.
Correct. A 3x from the last down, 5x, maybe, 3 to 5. More than that, I'll be very careful. I'll put it this way. I'll be very, very careful. Yeah. In fact, in my opinion, just don't be greedy. Make your money and...
Set your target when you want to leave.
Yeah.
Be it 5 times, 10 times, or even 20%, 10%.
Yeah, even 20% or 10%, right? Yeah.
It's still good money, wey.
It's still good money, right? like stock, you make 20% in 1 month, wey. You are very happy, dude, bro.
Of course.
Like top of the world, dude. I mean, like, even the best investors, you're looking at an average of about 20%.
Correct.
Right? So, I mean, this one, over the past few weeks, is more than that. So, let's put it that way, right? So my point is this, right? Based on the past history of performance, it looks like there is still legs to run. What are your thoughts then?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there are more millionaires than Bitcoin. There are only 21 million Bitcoins in the world. But just Malaysia ourselves, right? I think there are more than 1 million millionaires already, right? And if you talk about all the countries in the world, probably there are like few hundred millions millionaires.
Yeah.
And if each of them own one Bitcoin, that itself is enough to push Bitcoin to the next level.
You haven't
talked about the normal people like us to go and invest in Bitcoin yet.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, there's going to be more millionaires than Bitcoin in the world.
Yeah.
Because there's only 21 million Bitcoin ultimately.
Yeah.
So that's why it's my goal is to be a whole coiner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
good.
I have
50,000 US dollar.
Yeah. So I'm very happy. Yeah. So
can buy one Tesla for free.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with my I shouldn't say, right? Yeah, but yeah. So I'm pretty happy with it. Nonetheless, the point is, okay, aside from talking about history, what are we also seeing lately in the market? Which you actually pulled out the chart of how much of inflows on
Bitcoin spot ETF,
right? Yeah, because remember when spot ETF just came out, then suddenly, right, it didn't fly up. So a lot of people were very curious. But what happened during that time was that Grayscale ETF was outflowing. And what happened was that we see a lot of times during that period of time, actually the inflow towards Bitcoin during that period was about the same. Yeah. And now, suddenly, it's picking up. Yeah. Just yesterday, or February the 14th, February Valentine's the 14th in US, Valentine's, BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF alone recorded 720 million in daily volume.
Volume or dollars? I think it's dollars.
Yeah, dollars. 720 dollars. Million yeah,
dollars
in daily volume. That's close to a billion, bro. Just
one day.
Just one day. For one BlackRock only, bro.
One BlackRock only.
One BlackRock only, bro. You don't talk about other things, bro.
Yeah. For context, there are a total of 10 BTC spot ETF right now.
Yeah. And the total 10. Inflow for BlackRock, already surpassed 5B, bro. 5B.
Mind-boggling.
That is crazy number, you know. And the best part is, I was reading this particular article. They did a survey and they asked all the investors, all the institutional investors, how many of them are taking position in Bitcoin? Many of them not yet also.
True also lah, because for all these institutions to buy in, right, you know, they need to go through the investment committee, they need to get many approvals before they can actually execute the trade, right? Probably they will come in the second leg when it goes up to the previous high of 69,000, then finally they say, okay lah, now I can buy, right?
Yep.
Maybe that could happen.
So, with so much of inflow, right? It is crazy, lah. It's quite crazy, lah.
It's crazy. It is literally the world is trying to justify that we finally have a new asset class called the digital gold. I think the world is trying to prove that.
Yeah.
If not, it won't be so much money going into one single asset. And this asset got no real world value to say, right?
Yeah.
It is just a store of value because a lot of people just want to buy it.
Yeah, so it's just the same as gold,
just
right?
The same as gold. I exactly mean, the it, same as gold.
Is gold very stable in price?
Yeah, kind of.
Is it?
Yeah.
Actually, not really. You look at the chart, it's up and down quite a bit also. It's not as crazy as Bitcoin. It's not crazy as Bitcoin. But it's also quite...
Yeah, because it is a commodity. So
yeah, it's commodity, the up and down is quite... Like it's not correct. Like that, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when we think about gold, in their mind, it's like that. But actually, it's not. It is.
Yeah.
It can be 1,008, it can be 2,008. It can be $1,000 difference, eh? So it is not that stable also, put it this way, right? Yeah, and what are you going to do with gold? Also nothing, right?
Yeah, lo.
Put it in here.
Yeah, lo.
Okay, you can say you...
Very little.
You use it for
very little.
For some medical, you use it for some
for your electronics
semiconductor,
and all that.
Those kind of stuff.
Very
like
little.
But very little. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not too far different from Bitcoin in that sense, you know. Yeah. So it looks like the world is trying to prove itself that there's another proof of, there's another reserve that they can use. So now, with all that pointing to this, my thoughts are very simple, right? We're going to leave more time for some Q&A as well. Number one, there's a very strong inflow. Number two, Bitcoin halving is happening. Yeah. With these 2 points and the third point of past historical data, I personally am still waiting to gain a bit more cash to add in.
As you accumulate your cash, Bitcoin is not going to wait for you also.
Correct.
Bitcoin, chances are, is going to go up
correct,
a little
so
bit
I'm
more.
Waiting for my next salary to
next
add
salary,
some money.
Okay. Okay, add some money. 15 pep already. Wait 2 more weeks, you can buy already.
Yeah, that's my And I'm hoping that it will drop below 50 for a while. that's my hope at this point. But if it doesn't, then just go ahead. Because MicroStrategy, right, that they also bought quite a lot, and their average purchase price is 30 over 1,000 now. Yeah. Hey, if MicroStrategy is willing to go for average purchase price at 30 over 1,000.
But you also have to remember when it dipped so low, right, they were still buying. And correct. That's why people keep selling them and say, you stupid one, you got correct. Business you don't want to do, go and buy Bitcoin.
Their average purchase price is 30 over 1,000. Yeah. Right? Mm. So if there can be 30 over 1,000, if my average is 40,000, I think it's fine.
Fair.
Or put it this way, on a grand scale of things, if my average purchase price is around 50, I think it's not too bad also.
True.
Yeah, true. It's not too bad.
Based on past data.
Or like relatively correct, comparison, correct. Right? Mm. But again, it doesn't mean that I'm going to make money. I can lose money.
Mm.
Put it this way. Yeah. It's just that I'm seizing an opportunity that I think is happening.
Mm.
Yeah. That is for me. But again, please do not invest in Bitcoin. Mm.
This is not investment advice.
Please don't go and invest. It's just an entertainment purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so for yourself,
mm.
what do you think? Will you buy and why?
If I have the cash, of course I would right? But it's just that in the previous round and when it was 40,000, I could only squeeze out 2,000 ringgit. If not because of Chinese New Year, I could have put a little bit more. So, yeah, this Chinese New Year, as a married person sometimes.
Come at wrong time.
Come at the wrong time. Yeah, take out all the cash. This one need to give people. Then in the end of the day, like, oh shit, not much money left.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. No. We have already talked about why we will buy, right? Yeah. Why not? Let's talk about why we won't buy or why you shouldn't buy.
Mm.
And who do you think they should not buy?
Okay. I think people who cannot stomach the volatility, right? Better don't touch.
I agree.
Yeah. Because now it can be 52,000. You go toilet, you come back, it can become 48,000. Then it's like, oh shit, oh panic already, sell, right? Then when you sell, it goes up to 55. Then
That's true.
Then, yeah. You're just losing money all the way.
That's true. Yeah.
But if you have a long horizon of investment period and you truly understand the whole mechanics of how cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin works, and if you believe that more demand is going to come into Bitcoin, then it's better to hold a long-term kind of position.
Mm.
And don't look at the volatility because volatility will kill you.
Yep.
Mm.
I agree. I think the thing about Bitcoin is that for those of you who, number one, have no idea about what Bitcoin is and haven't done any study, and if you think you want to buy just because you hear some podcasts or watch some videos, my personal opinion is don't. Even if you do, then you take it as a gambling money that you may lose it, or just take it as you had a meal with your friends.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, in terms of risk appetite wise, just like what Frankie say, it's ups and downs. Yeah? You need to be able to stomach it. You need to have a long-term horizon.
Mm.
Now, which brings me to the next thing that I want to highlight, right? I was just having a conversation with our friend, Aaron, earlier, right? Mm. I was saying that for me, one of my plans is by 2025, I may start cashing out.
Mm.
And he did mention this one thing is that, which I thought is very meaningful, generational wealth is not built on assets that allows you to buy and sell like that. Generational wealth are built on people not selling at all.
Mm.
They just hold the thing there.
Mm.
And that makes sense. That's why a lot of rich people, what is their biggest ownership?
Their business.
Business or either land.
Mm.
Right? They don't sell.
Mm.
Market good, market bad, they hold it. They just leave it there. Yeah. And then after 20, 30 years, their grandchildren become very rich. Yeah,
they pass it down.
Yeah, they pass it down, right? That's the whole idea behind. So, the whole point that I'm mentioning that is because the truth is, as much as you like to time the market, it may not happen in your favor.
Mm.
Yeah. If you plan to time the market, you need to be prepared that you can lose money. Mm. If not, holding it for long term is probably the best way to actually grow wealth for generations.
But based on past data, right, if you know that it's going to drop to the previous high and you have this mindset that generation wealth you cannot touch, then you're just seeing it coming down.
Correct. Oh. So then here is where the argument is. So should you sell or should not sell? Let's move to this next question then.
If I have that empirical evidence from the past and knowing that because it is so easy to look at Bitcoin chart and chances are after the halving, after 15 months, it may come down a little bit, right? I may at least take a majority of the money out first. But I will still have a little bit of skin in the game just in case it really continue to go up then.
Right.
At least I still got something over there, right? But why is because if it is really coming down back to 69,000 from, let's say, 100,000, right? It's going to be half the money gone, you know. And so sunful I accumulate in the past 1 to 2 years at 20,000 over, right? And seeing it drop by 50% and knowing that it will happen is just that because of my sentimental value towards the asset, then I don't sell. It's a very bad decision.
So then, if that case, right, how will you handle it will be the question. No? So my personal thought is that, yeah, if I already know that it's going to drop, not selling it, it's not a very smart move. But selling it and knowing that I can't control my emotion is a worse move.
Come again?
If sell already sell and I can't control my emotion, that's a worst
move. So you're going buy back, lah, means?
Means you sell already and you see it go up a bit, then you scared, you buy back.
Oh, okay.
Then when it drop, you sell again.
Then it goes back to the original question of who shouldn't invest in Bitcoin already.
Correct. Yes, then it goes back to there where who shouldn't invest. If all you want to do is just speculate, then you need to be very careful. I think it's very important that when you invest, you need to start with the goal of knowing when you want to sell. So if you say, my target is 3 times, then okay, great. If you hit 3 times, exit. Or either you say, after 3 times, you're going to exit half. Then exit half. You get what I'm saying, right? Then whether or not it goes up is nothing to do with me. I'm just going to chill. Right? Yeah. Until it drops. So for this cycle, my goal is to earn how much? That's a question that you have to set from the beginning itself. Yeah. And then if it drop more than 30%, only by then I'm going to start averaging down again. You need to have this plan. No, I think that's the most important thing. So in fact, the most important thing about buying an asset, whether is it stock or whether is it Bitcoin or whether is it whatever, I think the most important thing is actually to decide when you are sell before you even buy. Right?
True.
Actually, that's what you do.
True.
Yeah. Right? Every time we discuss, right?
That's why when you read analyst report, before anything else, the first line is straight away tell you what is the target price first. It already tell you what price you should sell first. Then only tell you why you should buy at the bottom.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct, right? You don't buy it, yes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We always talk about it. It's like, this is going to happen, so better buy it now. And when this happens, what do you do? Sell. It's not keep forever. Yeah. Unless you're holding it and you're very certain that there's still legs to grow. So you're re-evaluating. That's why every 3 months you re-evaluate. What? Now, I think the good thing about Bitcoin is this. After that, there's not too many things to evaluate.
Yeah. It's just mainly that few things that we just mentioned just now.
Yeah. So, so I think for those people who shouldn't buy Bitcoin, is for those people who are actually just one day make a very quick money, then you will not have it. Yeah.
It's a bit like Wild Wild West, like that. During Wild Wild West period, people were mining gold, right? And then, yeah, gold got value or not, people don't really know. But because it's the trend that everyone is buying it, then it became a gold rush. Everybody just rushing to buy.
That's
so
right.
I think we are in that phase right now. It's just that in the past, it was physical gold. Right now, in the digital world, we all hold digital gold. That's it.
Yeah. So there's a particular index that says that now we are at a very high greed phase. And usually follow after this, the market will crash for Bitcoin, for crypto. So
I think for the general market, also the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day we read about the economy is bad. If you look at the S&P 500, every day go up.
Yep. So for those people who are very lazy to actually think about when to time, then you can take my approach. Dollar cost average.
Go up, go down also.
So my approach is, I don't really care because I'm too lazy. Yeah. So I just, every month, I put in some money. And I've been doing that for Bitcoin since it was 15 to 20,000. Yeah. In the last cycle, just at the last cycle, I didn't sell. I just hodl until today. But because of that, my return is not double or anything. Although I buy 20, my return is not double. It's just about 20 plus to 30%. Okay, maybe about 40 lah. Because I got a few pockets, but somewhere around there. Yeah. So it's not double. Although I bought a double. So, but because of that, I don't have to worry. I'm quite relaxed with my position. I just chill and enjoy myself.
But I don't do DCA. Because for me, and this is my style, and maybe you all shouldn't follow, is that because when I do dollar cost average, right, and because I don't keep a ledger myself, so I will forget what price I buy. I'm not sure whether I buy expensively or I buy it cheaply. So when I see the market timing is correct, I will just buy enough position, like build a position so that later I want to add, I want to cut. That is my problem. But right now, to build that position is this amount of money, I'll just put that amount of money and just build that position first. So I know no matter what happened, I add later also, my cost roughly 20 over 1,000. I can say that. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, so that's me. For me, no lah.
Yeah.
For me, it's just every month I put in about like, last time few hundred, now 1,000 and that's for me.
Yep.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, that's it. Like, whether should you buy? Do you think it's still worth it? I think we've already spoken our piece.
Yeah.
Whether should you, not should you buy, but whether can you still buy?
Can you still buy this very risky asset?
Yes. So, but again, by entering now, it doesn't mean that you'll definitely make money, nor does it mean that you'll lose money. It's just that can you buy? Can. I mean, let's put it this way, as long as you kick the button, whatever the price you can buy or not. Yeah.
It's just whether you dare to buy at 50,000 or not.
Yeah. So, at 50,000, do I think that there's still legs to run? Yeah, I think there's still legs to run. But that's based on me and my own appetite range, not your appetite range. So do not follow us.
Yep.
Okay, why not let us answer some questions?
Sure.
And let's take it from there, right?
Okay.
Oh, should we also thank our sponsor for this video?
Ah, yes, almost forgot. I keep drinking, but I forgot about them. Yeah, so from now on, every month we'll have one episode that is sponsored by Zeus Coffee. Yeah.
Do you need to tell them that every month one episode?
but now that I tell you already, then now you know. Huh?
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much, Zeus Coffee, for sponsoring this episode of Mr. Money TV Live. Yeah, that's on Spotify. Yep. That's also on Apple Podcasts well. And whatever platform that you get your podcast on. And yeah, the coffee that I'm drinking right now is called the Hot CEO Latte. So I want to tell you a little bit of story about this Hot CEO Latte that I've been telling people.
Okay, what is
if
it?
You recall, I used to drink black coffee every day, right?
Mm.
I don't drink with milk and anything, right? But do you notice lately I've been ordering CEO Latte?
Yeah.
Specifically with almond milk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why, thanks why? To my wife.
Why?
So my wife likes CEO Latte with almond milk.
Oh, does it taste different?
Yes, so I tried it.
I should try.
After I tried it, I liked it. And ever since then, I've been ordering CEO Latte with almond milk. Yeah, but once in a while, I still drink back my black coffee. So, okay. I have to say that they're pretty good. They didn't just sponsor this particular one. They also sponsor Are We Okay?
Yeah, Are We Okay?
So, for those of you who actually enjoy more policy-related and current issue-related content, you can check out our the other podcast called Are We Okay? It is co-hosted by Ong Kian Ming, Dr. Ong Kian Ming to be specific, the ex-deputy minister in Malaysia, and also ex-MP of Bangi. Yeah.
Correct.
So if you enjoy that, go and check out Are We Okay? Podcast by Mr. Money TV. Yeah. Nonetheless, thank you very much, Zeus, for sponsoring us. And what are you drinking?
Mine is a hot Spanish latte. Now, when I saw this name, right, I went to Google what is actually Spanish
latte. Oh yeah, what is Spanish latte?
It's actually latte with a dose of condensed milk. That is called Spanish latte. And that's how Spanish people like to drink it.
So it's a bit more sweet.
A bit more sweet. So this one has sweetness. I think yours don't have, right?
No,
it's just coffee and milk only, right?
Yeah,
so this one is sweet. So for people who like sweet coffee, next time when you go to Zeus Coffee, you can ask them to give you Spanish latte.
Yeah. So depend if you want to feel like you are Spanish on the day or you want to feel like a CEO, then you can inspire yourself by bringing CEO latte. Yeah. If not, you are like me, you want to drink black coffee, then just get a
Americano. Americano is also quite nice. And I like to have it with milk on the top.
Yeah. Hey, but I have to say, they kind of, I would say their business kind of cracked the code, you know. They made coffee so addictive.
No, because they price it correctly.
Correct. It's a very great case study, yes. You know. Mm. Yeah, like, I mean, not because they're a sponsor, but
they
okay, for your info, we drink
a lot of Zeus coffee.
A lot of Zeus coffee. Yeah, like
almost every day.
Yeah, it was because we drink it so much that eventually we say like, hey, why not
we ask them?
We ask them whether they want to sponsor us.
Yeah.
Because we have been drinking it and every time we just put the cup there and everything. Correct. I think the last time when I met Sadiq also, I bought him Zeus coffee.
Yep. People who come and visit our office, you will know lah. Every time our table show got Zeus coffee.
Zeus coffee. So what happened is that because they have that app thing, and then the app also make it very sticky, the price is just right, the delivery is seamless. So it's like, so easy.
And I think their tagline nailed it. Coffee is necessity, not luxury.
Yeah.
It's like slapping in other people's face. Right?
Okay, I have to say, also lately, their coffee taste is probably one of the best. Okay, you don't talk about artisanal coffee, the kind of like 15 ringgit coffee, which I think some are quite good, but I don't really not appreciate it yet, I guess. But if you talk about the chain kind of coffee,
that is not bad. They have two coffee beans for you to choose. One is called Boss. One is called Lydia, I think.
Yeah.
Lydia, that one is more spicy and sour a little
acidic.
Bit. For me, I like the dark roast kind of chocolatey taste.
Last time, I drink the S brand coffee. The issue about the S brand coffee is this.
They are just selling milk.
It's so bad. It is so bad and it's so expensive. I cannot tahan. So eventually I'm like, whatever, man. Anyway, let's not talk about coffee today. Let's go back to the
Q&A.
Topic. Q&A for Bitcoin.
Suddenly
right?
We got brought, got carried away.
But if you think that we should maybe speak to someone from Zeus, right, for an interview, like maybe the founders or someone like that, you want to know their story, write down in the comment. We are more than happy to actually maybe approach them, do a, particular section with them, right? Okay. Nonetheless, let's answer some question and then so that everyone can go back to their Chinese New Year dinner or whatever they need.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think first question I'll pick out here is by Cross. Is Luno protected in Malaysia? Reiterates that as a regulated digital asset platform, register with Security Commission. Yes, I buy my cryptocurrency with Luno. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The reason being is because they are regulated, as simple as that. The fees are a little bit more costly than other methods that you're going to use, like for example, KuCoin or Binance or whatnot. But most of these platforms, I find it, sometimes I'm a little bit worried because you never know when suddenly a law comes out and say that you're not allowed to use it in your country and then they have to just stop you from using the website in the country and then you can't transfer money around, you need to go and open a Singapore bank account or something like that. Makes it extremely troublesome. I feel like the worry itself is not worth my money. So, yes, although added up the fees is about 1% buy and sell, about 1% to 2%, somewhere around there, added together sometimes. And then the spread sometimes higher, blah, blah, blah. But, you know what? I'm less worried. Number two, if you actually notice, if you come with the exchange rate, you're actually getting cheaper exchange rate when you buy on Luno directly. Do you realize that?
Yep.
Yeah. So ultimately, when you switch back, you are not really paying for that much. Because unless you already had a lot of USDT accumulated in the past, now you're just dispensing the USDT. If every time when you need to buy Bitcoin, you need to change USDT, you're not saving that much. That's what I realized.
Suddenly it feels like we are also promoting Luno already. But
We don't even have a code for Luno, right?
Correct. But
it's personal codes, right?
Yeah. But anyway, what I want to add on is that now, if you don't use platforms that is approved by SE, what happens is that chances are you need to use your credit card or debit card to buy from international platforms. And always all these international platforms, they will charge very hefty fee on your credit card. It can be 10-15%. On top of that, you still got forex rate, and then you got the brokerage fee that you need to pay. It's very expensive to go to overseas platform. So for me, it's just seamless to just go with one of the local vendor.
Yeah, I got no time to
keep
thinking about this and that and that kind of stuff. What else question is there?
There's one here. Starting DCA buying Bitcoin right now, is it profitable? The point of DCA is not for you to make money.
It's not making money immediately.
Yeah. The point of DCA is to eliminate the need to keep monitoring the market consistently.
Yep.
But you build a habit that, okay, every first of the month, I'll just put in a certain amount of money to buy the asset, no matter what price it is.
Mm.
Because what you want to build is that average price along a long-term period of time.
Yep.
And then when you want to take profit, hopefully the price has gone up significantly, you can make a good profit out of it.
So usually, right, for those of you who are doing a DCA, right, I would say this one thing, lah, you need to wait for at least 2 years, 1.5 years to 2 years. Yeah. Then suddenly you got a lot of things to say. Yeah. Why is it so, right? You think about it this way. Do you notice I'm like that? Every time I tell you about like certain stocks that I buy, I got nothing to show until after 1.5 years to 2 years. But once I can show you very long. Like for example, Nvidia, Meta, all these, like, I can show you very long. And the next time when it drop also, right, I'm still smiling. Because after 2 years of accumulating or 3 years of accumulating, I have no problem with it going up or down. I'm still going to make money, whether is it more or less. That's pretty much about it. Yeah.
True.
So it reduces me of having the need to worry. So if you're thinking about DCA, don't bother about being able to see money in the next 6 months to 1 year. If you happen to see money in the next 6 months to 1 year by DCA, you are very lucky, but you will only be able to see a consistent reap the benefit after about 2 years.
PY Yong Dave asks, what gives stocks and gold value? What gives bond or real estate value? If you really think about it, all assets are evaluated by how many people are buying. Yes, to a certain extent, but all these asset classes that you just mentioned there, they have their own respective fundamentals for you to understand. Like for stocks, you are actually investing in a business. So if you think that the business is going to do well, it will be supported by the profit. And for the profit, you pay a price on it. That's why you invest on the company. Yeah, same for bonds and real estate as well. So it is not entirely just because people want to buy it, so therefore the price increase. That is true because you are trading on the stock market, ma. But ultimately, you have to think why people want to go and buy it. It's because the fundamentals are good.
But true also, to a certain extent, in the short term, is that like what you say, you need to appreciate it. That's why certain companies are earning very well, but the stock price never fly on it.
Yep. You need some marketing there.
Yeah.
Come and find us to
true
do
right?
marketing.
True, right? Yeah. True, right? Actually, think about it. There are quite a lot of very, very good companies.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense why it's not taking off.
Yep.
Yeah. Just because it's not sexy enough. That's all. I think we are kind of in a similar category. Yeah. Just to share with you all, right? We are in the media business. in the startup world, media business is not sexy also. Yeah, it's nothing sexy because...
Even on Bursa,
media business is not sexy.
Correct.
It is good cash flow. It makes money, but it is not sexy. It will be way sexier if today I have a tech company that loses money, but it's a tech company that sells you a story that can grow
it's
very
big.
It's
a unicorn. Yeah.
So people are willing to pay a lot more to buy that than a media company. For the fundamental reason why is because media is hard to scale. The cost to operate a media company goes hand in hand with the revenue. And pretty much that's all you can do, lah. Yeah. So nothing sexy. So our $1 in profit is worth less than a tech company's losses of 10,000. Yeah, people are willing to pay to buy that of a tech company than buying a cash flow company that is not sexy. That's the truth. It's just how it is, right? It's just how it is. And the same thing applies in the stock market. Yeah, that's why you think about it. Formula One, Liberty Media, right? You're not going to see great price to a certain extent.
But they're making good money.
But who makes money?
Yeah. The owners
make
a lot of money.
Yeah. The people who take money from dividend make money. Yeah, but at the stock price trading wise, no. Because people don't...
People say, all you do is just F1 marketing. How much F1 can make? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So that's the whole idea. I mean, the same theory applies, right? You think about it, Tesla.
Mm.
Tesla makes less car, but its market value is all the car makers combined.
Okay.
that's basically it, right? Yeah. Mm. But there is fundamental reasoning. Like, for example, Tesla is because it's a tech company, there's more potential to grow, yada. We totally understand. Yeah, that's why we buy the stock as well, okay? Yeah, put it this way, we understand. That's why we also invest like that. Mm. Put it this way, if I'm an investor also, I may not buy my own company. Because I understand.
Yeah, I understand that not many people will appreciate it.
Yeah, it's just simple as that. Mm. Yeah, so I understand. That's all. Yeah.
There's one question here. Is it possible to buy fractional share for Bitcoin?
Bitcoin itself is quite fractional. Mm. You can buy 50 ringgit worth of Bitcoin.
Okay, you can buy as small as one Satoshi.
Yeah.
One Satoshi is 0.0 and then followed by
7.0.
1. Right.
Yeah, so that's
and,
it.
Yeah, and I did a calculation before. For one Satoshi to be one US cent, one Bitcoin has to be $1 million. So maybe that is the reason why when they program it, they put 7 zeros in front.
Yeah.
So that hopefully one day one Satoshi equals to 1 cent.
Oh, having said that, anyone here bought Chainlink? Remember I was talking about Chainlink?
Yeah.
You know what's the price of Chainlink?
I don't know.
20.
Oh. You bought less than 10, right?
6.
Oh.
I accumulated it at 6.
Wow.
But
good job.
Bitcoin is still my big portfolio. Yeah. So that's not my largest.
Right.
In fact, in order for me to have whole coiner, I actually released some of my Chainlink to.
Oh, okay.
And I've exceeded whole coin, but I did not replenish my Chainlink that much. Yeah. So, but okay, I still made good money from Chainlink. Yeah. So, pretty happy. Yeah. Nonetheless, those are some of the things. Yeah. Any more questions that you want to highlight? What do you think about XRP over long term?
I don't follow XRP, so I'm not sure.
I have no opinion. Mm. Yeah, I'm very focused on Bitcoin at this point.
Mm.
And I generally only look at few things. Bitcoin, Solana, Chainlink, and Ethereum.
Oh, for me is Bitcoin, Polygon, Ethereum, and then DeFi Chain.
Ah, okay. Mm. I only look at these few things. So, others, I don't know. I know some people are very good in doing degen stuff.
Mm.
They are very good in punting shit coins, but I'm not good in that. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Last one. Do you think Malaysia will have its own stable coin since Singapore and Indonesia have its own stable coin? I think it's irrelevant. Because
yeah, it's out of our pay grade to decide whether we will have a stable coin or not.
And even if we have also, I don't think it's relevant actually.
Mm.
Do you think it's relevant?
At one point we were talking about that regional stable coin thing, right? So that all the country can use the same coin to do transaction.
I can't
remember what was it already.
I mean, what I mean by irrelevant is like, does it really affect our life? Does it affect our financial system that much?
Not really.
Not really, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it does. Because I haven't touched cash for quite long also anyway.
You have been using digital money.
We have been using digital money all the while. But the only thing that I see a difference is at the back end of the banks, if you have digital stable coin for Malaysian ringgit, maybe banks will be able to plug in to exchange. That's all.
And traceable. More traceable.
Right, more traceable.
Yeah.
But I don't think any country really wants that. Cause
cause of certain things.
Yeah, a lot of things don't even need to go court, you know. the whole ledger will prove by itself where the money went.
Correct.
I don't think
that, then a bit hard to run away already.
Yeah. So, okay, I think one thing I want to highlight here, Eugene said this, right? I think it's very good. Okay? If anyone made money in Bitcoin, congrats. I'm happy for you. Yeah. But maybe you should ask yourself, what are you going to do with the profit is more important. And Eugene actually said this thing. He is not that into Bitcoin lah. Mm. Along the way, I kind of read the thing. And great. Mm. I think he's smart. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
He's not very affected by anyone.
Mm.
It's just, you all make money. It's just not my cup of tea. And I think that's the attitude that you should have.
Correct.
Now, I'm making an assumption that Eugene already studied about Bitcoin. He still find that it's not his cup of tea.
Mm.
Not the kind where I'm just not interested. Then he doesn't want to learn about it. Okay, I'm making an assumption that he's an open-minded person. After learning about it, he finds that it's not his cup of tea.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's the best, because you come to a learned decision, an educated decision of whether a particular asset is good for you or not.
Yep.
And there, I think that that's
lot,
very important.
There are a lot of stocks or real estate that can make 3 times, 5 times as well. You don't really need to just put your head down and say that I must invest in Bitcoin.
Correct. Mm. And the last thing is this, right? Which I think that what you say is very, very good, is that ask yourself, what are you going to do with the profit? Because ultimately, it's not about just having a lot of money. Mm. I mean, you put the money there for a reason, so that you can do something with it. So maybe you need to ask yourself, right? Why are you earning the money for? What do you really want to do with it?
Mm.
Is it for charity? Is it for family? Is it for what?
Yep.
So I think the driving force behind investing should not be about accumulating large number. Yeah, it should be about, you know, what kind of life you want to live.
Mm.
I think that will be more important. Yeah. Now, Eugene also said his portfolio is up 21% in 10 months.
No,
that's good.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Mm. So, people say you can't make money in Bursa, but my opinion, Bursa is harder to make money than the US market. To a certain extent, I agree, but to a certain extent, I also disagree, because I think if you're from Malaysia, maybe it's easier for you to make money on Bursa.
Yes.
Because you have the information advantage.
Right.
Mm. Number two, I think you're right. A lot of people say you can't make money on the stock market. I think people say that because they've never invested in Malaysia stock market, or they actually have no idea what they invested in.
Mm. I came from a background where I only invest in Malaysian stock. So I totally can get what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, anyway, we got capital gain tax now. Someone just reminded us.
Mm.
Yeah, 10%.
Correct. Yeah. But how do you account for crypto? So the government relies on us to report it or disclose it ourselves. There's no rule that say that you must show that you have already made the gain. So that is still a bit of loophole.
Selling of Sanriam Bahat. So correct. It's okay.
But eventually, I think it will cripple down to all the other classes.
So anyway, it's your responsibility as a Malaysian citizen to actually report your tax.
Mm.
Nonetheless, I think we can conclude today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Can you buy Bitcoin or not still?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is yes, because physically all you need to do is just click a button. Do you think that Bitcoin still have legs to run? In my opinion, that is what I'm believing in, and that's what my action is doing.
Mm.
However, those of you who are watching and listening, please do not do that, because that's my conviction, not yours.
Yep.
Yeah. So don't ever quote us.
Yep. Whatever that we share is just based on our assumption and our estimation of what could happen to Bitcoin in the near future. It does not mean that is how Bitcoin is going to pan out in the next 12 to 15 months.
Yep.
So be very careful about it.
Yep. So just to recap, what are some of the reasons that we think that we are going to continue investing in the asset personally? Is for number one, the
halving.
The halving. Number two, the historical charts or historical performance indicates the pattern to repeat. number three is there is a very strong inflow for Bitcoin ETF that signifies a growing demand in the market.
Mm.
And this is just the beginning. Anything else?
Nope. I think that kind of conclude the whole chapter.
All right. You want to conclude who shouldn't invest?
Okay, again, people who shouldn't invest in Bitcoin are people who really, really cannot tahan the volatility. Well, not just Bitcoin, but any asset that is volatile, you should avoid, because even if you're knowledgeable in the asset class, because you cannot stomach the volatility, right, you may make emotional decision in your investment, and that may cost you a lot of tuition fee.
That's true. Yeah. All right, so that's all about it. Thank you very much for joining us on Thursday Night Live. See you next week.
All right, bye-bye.